And I appreciate Brother Joe. He is a blessing to camp meeting and a friend to camp meeting. And God has used him the past few years to challenge our hearts. I want you to hear him gladly as he comes to preach and carry out the service as he feels led of the Lord. Brother Joe, amen. Love you.
Love you, my amen. Friend. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5 tonight. Praise the Lord. Didn't you enjoy that great message? And I don't feel so bad about making words up myself now. Amen? And that's awesome, Brother Mike. Love you in the Lord. And man, that choir. Praise God. Ralph Sexton Sr. used to say, praise God, children. That'll make you climb a wall backwards. Amen. And that is a real blessing. I appreciate it. And those young ladies that sang, I'll tell you, I love it. I like this kind of atmosphere. And the hope of America is under this tabernacle tonight. The future of Christianity, as we know it in America, the hope of that's under this tabernacle tonight. And I'm glad old-time religion's good for the old folks like me. And it's good for the young folks like them. And I hope we shout so loud, praise God, a rabbit won't run through here for years and years to come. Turn to somebody beside of you and say, you're beautiful. Now I'll turn back around and say, I was just kidding, praise God. Glad to have the Sanhedrin court over here to my right. I appreciate him in the Lord. I love this place. Mark's Gospel tonight, chapter number 5. And I want to break in the chapter in verse number 22. Mark chapter 5, verse number 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed. And say this last line out loud with me, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. And can I say he'll go home with you too? He'll go home with you too tonight. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. We'll leave off the narrative in verse number 24 and pick it back up again in verse number 35. And the reason why we do that is this. While Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, that's when that woman with that issue of blood presses through that crowd and touches Jesus. And there's a couple of things about that that I like. Number one, I'm glad you can't get lost in a crowd. There may be hundreds and hundreds and thousands, but if you touch Jesus, you can't get lost in a crowd. Something else I like about that, the Lord is not so busy that while he's on his way to work a miracle in somebody's life, he'll stop and work in somebody else's life. I guess what I'm trying to say is this, it is no secret what God can do. For what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Pick it back up again in verse number 35. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a Baptist, a negative Baptist, a murmuring Baptist of his house, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? I don't know who this person is bringing all this bad news, but whoever it is, they don't know much about the Lord. Because he is not troubling the master, and neither are you. When you ask God to do something great in your life, you're not troubling him. You're not bothering him. We've been invited to the throne of grace. The blood of Jesus has made it accessible to you and I. He was not troubling the master, and neither are you. But I love verse number 36, and as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, say this out loud with me, be not afraid, only believe. For our text in verse 42, watch your Bible. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. I believe what we have before us tonight is one of the most vivid and clear pictures of intercessory prayer that you'll find in all of the Bible. I believe tonight the most needed praying that we'll ever do. I believe the most important praying that we'll ever do. Yes, and the most rewarded praying that we'll ever do is the prayers that we pray on behalf of others. I like what the old preacher said to the young preacher, that he would that prayers and supplication and giving of thanks and intercession be made for all of the saints. I'm here tonight because somebody prayed for me. You're here tonight because somebody prayed for you. Thank God tonight for the doctrine of intercessory prayer in the Word of God. In fact, we are encouraged and yet commanded in the New Testament to pray one for another. And I'm glad the God that we serve tonight is not only the alive God, He is not only the able God, He is not only the amazing God, He is not only the awesome God, but I'm glad He is the accessible God. I'm glad He's a God that we can get a hold of. Can I back up and say that again? I'm glad He's the God that we can get a hold of. And I'm glad it's not only the God that we can get a hold of, He's the God that can get a hold of us. And He's the God that can go get a hold of somebody else because we got a hold of Him. And I'm glad all of us tonight know the joy of somebody touching heaven for you and I. I believe tonight that Abraham touched God for his nephew Lot. I believe that Moses touched God for the nation of Israel. I believe Paul and those early apostles touched God for that infant church. And I don't know this tonight, that Jesus Christ touched God for all of us, because He is that one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I believe tonight revival has broke out because somebody touched God. I believe lost souls have been saved because somebody touched God. I believe sick bodies have been healed because somebody touched God. I believe broken families got mended because somebody touched God. I believe wayward sons and daughters found their way back to home and family because somebody touched God. I believe drunken daddies got to be sober daddies because somebody touched God. I believe the feeble have been strengthened. I believe the hungry have been fed. I believe the lost have been found. I believe the dirty have been cleansed. I believe the depressed have been encouraged because somebody touched heaven and somebody touched God and somebody got a hold of God and God got a hold of somebody because somebody got a hold of God. And here in our text tonight is another father. A father with a little girl at the point of death. And daddy can't seem to do anything about it. But he's willing to go and get a hold of God so God can come and get a hold of that little girl. Aren't you glad tonight we serve a God that we can get a hold of? And we serve a God that can get a hold of us. And we serve a God that can get a hold of somebody else because somebody got a hold of Him. Notice three things in this text tonight that I believe is a picture of intercessory prayer. Number one, in the text tonight, I want you to see the mandate that drove this man. The mandate that drove this man. Someone said, what would cause this daddy by the name of Jairus? What would cause this man to leave that little girl? And what would cause this man to go all the way across town and bow down at the feet of Jesus and beg him like a little child to come and touch his little daughter? What would cause a man to do that? Well, I've already answered the question in this phrase. He is a daddy with a daughter. He is a daddy with a daughter. And a daddy with a daughter will say things he said he would never say. Go places he said he'd never go. Do stuff he said he'd never do. And buy things he said he'd never buy. All because on the pinky of the daughter dangles this grown man by the name of Daddy. All she's got to do is look up with that manipulating look she got from her mother, and with tears streaming down her face and a quivering lip, say something like this: Daddy. Oh, Daddy. And if she prefaces it with this: oh, Daddy, you're the greatest. Oh, Daddy, you the best preacher that's ever been. Oh, Daddy, you are the greatest daddy. I don't care how strong Daddy is. I don't care how macho Daddy is. If that daddy has got a daughter, and if she's named Julie somewhere on Daddy, oh, yeah, I got one named Joanna. And she knows all she's got to do is say, Daddy. I mean, I've hated cats my whole life. I thought the best cat was a dead cat. And I made my brags. Bless God, ain't no cat coming to this house. But one day, little blue-eyed looked up at me and said, Daddy, can we get a cat? Guess who got a cat? Then I made my brags. I said, bless God, that thing's not coming in this house with me. It's a stinking animal. It's supposed to stay outside. Oh, one night the lightning flashed and the thunder rolled and the wind blew and the rain descended. And she looked up at me and said, Daddy, Flea Flea is outside in the storm. Can Flea Flea come into the house? Well, guess who got to come in the house? Guess who jumped up into bed with me at 1 o'clock in the morning? Then I made my brags. I said, if that thing ever gets sick, it's going to die. We'll put a bullet in it and bury it in the backyard. I'm not going to take my hard-earned revival money and spend it on no stupid cat. Well, one morning I got up to go visit the hospital, and I didn't know that during the night Flea Flea had climbed up into the motor of that Ford, and I went to crank that beep. I mean, fur went everywhere. Oh, son, I lifted the hood. And there laid Flea Flea. Oh, I grabbed my telephone. I called 911. Man, I throwed that thing in the car. I went to the vet. I pulled up my credit cards, my bank cards, my gas cards, my social security cards. And I said, if that stupid thing's got nine lives, I want to buy at least one of them right now. Do what you gotta do. Do what you gotta do. I want that cat to be saved, because I know at the house there's a little girl that thinks Daddy's awesome, and she thinks Daddy can do anything. Nobody else thinks like that, especially her mother, but at least she thinks that way. He's a daddy with a daughter. And if a man is a natural man and he's got a little daughter, he'll do what he can to meet the need of that little daughter. We come to this text tonight, and here is a man with a daughter. They're not having a birthday party. They're not having a Christmas party. They're not having a graduation party. They're about to have a funeral. For there on a bed of affliction lays a little 12-year-old girl that's crawled her way up into the heart of that daddy. The Bible said in our text tonight that she was at the point of death. That means her next breath may be her last. Her next heartbeat may be her last. The next second that ticks off the clock may be her last. Fever's raging in her body. Cold sweats are dripping down her face. She's taking those shallow breaths. She is at the point of death. Now you got to realize tonight who this is in our text. It's Jairus. The Bible said a ruler of the synagogue. That means several things tonight. Number one, he was a good man. He was a religious man. He was a good moral man. He was not a drunkard. He was not a fornicator. He was not an adulterer. He was a good moral upstanding man. But yet dead in all of his clean living, and dead in all of his morals, and dead in all of his goodness, was not enough to bring the health to that dying little girl. You realize who this is in our text tonight? He's Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. That means tonight he is a man of authority. He is a man of position. He is a man that gives commands. He is a man that tells others what to do. But yet in all of his authority and all of his commands, he doesn't have enough authority to command that disease to leave that little girl. He finds himself powerless. You know who this is tonight? It's Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. He's got some money. He's got some means. He's got enough money to buy land. He's got enough money to buy a house. He's got enough money to have a wife and a daughter. And it takes a lot of money to have a wife and a daughter. He is a man of money. He is a man of means. But yet everything he can get together, he doesn't have enough money to buy that little girl another breath. He doesn't have enough money to buy that girl another second. He doesn't have enough money to buy the healing that little girl needs. I'm painting the picture tonight of a daddy who is at the end of his rope. I mean, son, he don't have enough money. He can't buy it. He don't have enough authority. He can't command it. He can't live good enough. His morals are not enough. Here's a daddy that's exhausted every resource that he's got. Let me say it like this. It's over his head. It's beyond his pocket. And it's out of his hand. I see that daddy as he feels so helpless, standing beside the bedside of that little 12-year-old girl that's crawled up in his heart. She's sick and she's about to die. And daddy ain't got enough power. And daddy don't have enough authority. And daddy don't have enough money. He's helpless. He's hopeless. It looks like daddy can't do nothing but stand by her bed and watch her die. But about that time, something turns over in his soul. And he said, wait a minute, baby. I've heard about another father. I've heard about another daddy who's got more power than I've got, who's got more money than I've got, who's lived a lot holier than I have. And I may not be able to buy it. I may not be able to earn it. I may not be able to command it. But I know somebody who doesn't need my power. He doesn't need my authority. He doesn't need my money. Hang on, baby. I'm going to go get somebody that can do what daddy can't do and say what daddy can't say and go where daddy can't go. Lord God, aren't you glad when you was lost and undone on the point of destruction? Somebody went and got God who was bigger than your fault and bigger than your sin. I'm telling you tonight, my God, I feel like preaching. When it's over your head and beyond your pocket and out of your hand, there's a heavenly Father. There's a sovereign God. There's a mighty God that can do for us what we can never do for ourselves. That's the mandate. Someone said, "Preacher, it's been a long time since I fasted and prayed. It's been a long time since I hungered after God. It's been a long time since I pursued after God. It's been a long time since I got real serious with God." You know what you just told me? You just told me it's been a long time since you've been brought to the end of yourself. It's been a long time since you've been brought to the end of your resources. It's been a long time since you've been overwhelmed by problems. I'm glad when we don't have enough money. I'm glad when we not live good enough. I'm glad when we don't have enough power to do anything. Honey, I'm glad there's one that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And he's so close to God that he is God. I'm glad when I can't, God can. I said, I'm glad when I can't, God can. When I'm at the end and I give up, that's when God kicks in and says, I can do what you cannot do. I'm glad one day somebody went and got somebody that was bigger than all of the somebodies. Woo! The mandate that drove him. Number two, quickly tonight, I want you to see him, the text, the mission that directed him. You realize what kind of faith this father's got? I believe the hardest thing in his world was to leave the bedside of that sick little girl. I believe the hardest thing that Papa has ever done is leave the bedside of that dying girl. The preachers under this tabernacle tonight that have traveled and left their families day after day and year after year, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Honey, I backed that car out of the driveway a million Monday morning and hell climbing that seat and the devil get on my shoulders and say, go ahead, flaming evangelist, preach over there this week. But while you're preaching over there, I'll wreak havoc at your place. And while you're trying to keep all them other people's sons and daughters out of hell, I'll make sure yours goes to hell. And boy, you go to the airport or you get on that interstate and you cry and you beg God, your heart's in your revival, but your heart's back at the house. Brother, there's just some things you can't figure out. There's some things you can't explain. There's some things you gotta leave in the hands of a sovereign God who doeth all things well. It took some faith for that old boy to leave that little girl. He left her side, and I don't know how far Jesus was from him, but it wasn't too far for Daddy to make the trip. It didn't matter how far he had to go. It didn't matter how high he had to climb. It didn't matter how deep he had to go. There's something in his life bigger than anything, and that's for Jesus to get a hold of that little girl. You realize tonight what this man's got to do? He's got to renounce his religion to go get Jesus. He's got to give up his political affiliation to go get Jesus. He's got to give up his ecclesiastical authority to go get Jesus. It's going to cost him his job. It's going to cost him his position. It's going to cost him his reputation. But there's something in him driving him like a madman. It ain't his buddies, and it ain't his job, and it's not his occupation or his reputation. It's for that little girl to get well. It's for that little girl to get well. It doesn't matter how far he's got to go, how high he's got to climb, how deep he's got to crawl. It doesn't matter about the critics or the challenge or what's in his way. Hey, somebody said, Jairus, are you going for the prophet? Nope, I'm going for the messenger of the prophet. Jairus, you're going for the doctor? Nope, I'm going for the great physician. Jairus, are you going for the lawyer? I'm going for the lawgiver. Jairus, are you going for the evangelist? No, I'm going for the miracle worker. Jairus, who are you going for? I'm going for sovereignty. I'm going for deity. I'm going for power. I'm going for unction. I'm going for the anointed one. I'm going for somebody, hallelujah, that it's never out of his pocket. It's never out of his hand. It's never over his head. He said, I'm going to somebody that can do what nobody else can do. You know what I love about old Jairus? There's nothing right now in this moment of time any more important than Jesus getting a hold of that little girl. Can I run a rabbit if I hurry? If Jairus would have been like some of the daddies I've pastored for the last 32 years, that little girl would have died. Because daddy would have said, oh God, not today. We got a ball game. Oh, not today, honey. We got family reunion. Oh God, not today. You got a cheerlead. Oh God, honey, not today. Daddy's got to work overtime. Oh, not today, honey. The bucks is a-rutting and the fish is a-biting. Oh, not today. Honey, we can go some other day. I mean, we ain't got to go every time the door's open. I mean, you know, the doors on that church has been open for years. And I'm sure they'll be open for years to come. We ain't got to go today. Honey, she ain't got tomorrow. She ain't got another second. My God, it's now or never. And that daddy said, I'm telling you, I don't care what's on my agenda for today. I don't care what my personal wishes are today. I don't care who I'm affiliated with, who I'm hooked up with, my job, my buddies, my pals, my reputation. I'm laying it all down because my little girl is worth more than my money. She's worth more than my job. She's worth more than my reputation. I believe we'll have revival again in this country if some more moms and dads get more hunger for God and more thirsty for God than the popularity of our kids. There's nothing in the world tonight, in the life of your child, any more important than God getting a hold of them and doing a sovereign work in their heart. Woo! I'll tell you one thing about old Jairus I like. He knew where to go. Let me back up and say that again. He knew who to go to. And I love this. And he knew how to talk to him when he got there. Because the Bible said in our text, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He didn't get up in his face. He fell at his feet. Brother Mike talked about that man with two sons. Anybody here got more than one child? You got two children? You'll have to admit they're different. They may have the same mama, may have the same daddy, live in the same house and go to the same church, but they are different. You can have one as smart as a tack. And well, you can have another as dumb as a rock. You can have one, stop that, whoop, they stop that. And you can have one, you can frail, you can beat, you can threaten. And they'll still say, why? Boy, I just used to love it when my two would say that because it gave me an opportunity to say something I love saying. Because I said so. What about them two sisters, Martha and Mary? Martha's a worker. And she'll get in your face if she don't think you're working. Boy, she gets out there and calls for Jesus. He comes 4 days. She thinks she's late, but I'm glad he's never late. Jesus comes and Martha gets up in his face and said, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, honey, your brother's going to live again. And then she did a baptistic thing. She quotes scripture to the man who wrote it. And let me just say this. If quoting scripture when you pray makes you feel better, then by all means doing it. But if you're quoting scripture when you pray to remind God of what he said, he remembers. I know he's going to live again in the last day in the grave. He said, read my lips. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He turns and said, where's your sister? Where's Mary? They said, oh, Jesus, she's not like Martha. She's over here in a private place, weeping her heart out. He said, you go tell her the master's come. And he calleth for thee. Time out, aren't you glad for that day? The Holy Ghost taps you on the soul and said, the master's come. and he called it for thee. Shalom, Mary tore out of that house. Those that are mourning with her think she's going to the tomb, but she goes to the resurrection. And when she gets out there to where Jesus is, watch this now. She says the same thing her sister says. She says the same exact thing her sister says, but she said it in a different position. She said it in a different disposition. Her sister said it like this in his face. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Oh, but not Mary. She's at his feet. She's not in his face. She's at his feet. And she's weeping and she's crying. Oh, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And while she's weeping at the feet of Jesus, about that time she feels something hit the side of her face and runs down her chin and drips upon her hands. And she looks up, and not only is she crying, but Jesus is a crying too. And her tears got to mingling with his tears. And his tears got to mingling with her tears. I want to say tonight, if you'll get out of God's face and quit accusing him and fall at his feet and worship him and bless him and adore him, business is going to pick up. He fell at his feet and begged, besought him greatly. And I love what he said. He said, if you will come. Everybody but you's been to our house. But if you will come, things are going to change. He said, the doctor's been and nothing's changed. The reverend's been and nothing's changed. The rabbi's been and nothing's changed. But if you, glory to God, but if you will come, if you will step into our world, if you will make your presence known, if you will, let me tell you who you need tonight. You need God tonight. You need sovereignty tonight. You need deity tonight. You need power tonight. I can, you can, he can. That's who we need tonight. If you will come. And then I was riding down the road the other day, and God showed me this. I had me a spell. I was in my Mustang, and it got better and better. And the guy that pulled me over did not have any spiritual understanding of this whatsoever at all. You'll get that after a while. Jairus went up to Jesus and said, if you will come. If you've been looking for a place to shout tonight, right here's a good one. And lay thy hands on her. There was something about the hands of Jesus that had birthed faith out of old Eddie's heart. He said, them hands of yours. He said, you see, Jesus, for 12 years, she's been in my hands. For 12 years, I've held her in my hands. For 12 years, I've rocked her in my hands. For 12 years, my hands have mopped her fevered brow. For 12 years, my hands have held her and comforted her. But I realized something today, Jesus, Daddy's hands are not big enough. Daddy's hands are not powerful enough. Daddy's hands are not awesome enough. So today, Jesus, I get her out of my hands and I put her into your hands. I want to tell you, that child you're praying for tonight, that husband you're praying for tonight, if you can just get enough faith from God to get it out of your hands and put it in the Savior's hands. His hands can do what our hands could never do. He's a ruler of the synagogue. That means he has heard the scripture read in his presence thousands of times. And he had read about them, their hands, how they scooped out the oceans and heaped up the mountains and traced down the rivers, made a dry path through the Red Sea, and flattened the walls of Jericho, made the sun stand still, hid Moses in the cliff of the rock, put a lock on the jaws of the lion, extinguished a fire for the Hebrew boys. One of my mama's spells is to break out on me. Whoop! Hallelujah right there. Oh, one of them hands that's going to touch the blind and make them see. The hand that'll touch the leper and make them clean. That hand that'll touch the dead and make them live. That hand that'll be wounded on that cross. That hand that'll be raised on the other side of that tomb in victory. My God, that hand that reached way down above for you and saved your soul. That guiding hand, that saving hand, that wonderful hand, that providing hand, that loving hand. And that hand, glory to God, one day is going to wipe all the tears from our eyes. There's not much to my hands, and it's out of my hands. But there is a daddy, there is a father whose mighty hand, sovereign hand, awesome hand, eternal hand. Let's get it out of our hands and put it in the Savior's hand. Come and lay thy hand. And Jesus went with him. Somebody begging you like that, you gotta go. Somebody that'll worship you like that, you can't turn them down. You looking for me? God won't turn you down tonight. God won't turn you away. My name ain't Jairus. I ain't either. But he went home with me. He'll go home with you. You say, who will he go home with? Whoever will make him welcome, if you'll ask him and make him welcome and give him praise and give him glory and recognize who he is, he'll go home with you tonight. Amen. And I see the mandate, I see the mission, but I close with this tonight. I see the miracle. I see the miracle. Brother Jamie, I want you to help me. I want to be Jairus. And you be Jesus. Jairus said, will you please come over here? My little girl, I can't do nothing for her. It's in your hands. It's in your hands. Will you come? Bold Jairus has got Jesus. And they're headed to home. Boy, about that time, hundreds and hundreds of people come and surround them. And the progress is halted. And old Jairus has got to be a good man to stand there and wait for all of that. If I'd have been Jairus, I'd have said, come on, Jesus, we got to go. Don't worry about them other people. They don't need you as bad as I do. I got to you first. But you know why God blessed this man? He was willing to wait and watch God work a miracle in everybody else's life but his own. Because he knew no matter how long it took, his turn would come. You see, hold on. He had read in that Old Testament that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He just knew his turn was a-coming. And so he's just a-waiting. Boy, while they're waiting, here comes that woman with that issue of blood. And she had tried all and spent all. She was nothing bettered, but rather she grew worse. But one day she heard that Jesus was passing by. And she said, oh my. If I may but touch the hem of his garment. What in the world is so unique about a hem? Well, it's the finishing touch. It's what makes the garment complete. Before you got a hem, one side has to be lifted up. It has to be pierced within and without to hold it in place as an unseen cord that weaves through it and holds it together. Lord, have mercy. I'm glad one day Holy Ghost conviction got so bad. I said, if I may but touch the finished work of his cross, where he was lifted up, where he was wounded, and the cord of his blood washes away all sin. Hallelujah. Woo! And she presses through that crowd and touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And I'm telling you, I don't know if she was a Baptist or not, because the Bible said she felt it in her body. She'd have been a Baptist, she'd have said, wow, that felt wonderful. Son, whoo! She felt it. That ain't gonna hurt you. Woo! She felt it in her body. And not only, glory to God, does she feel it, but Jesus felt it too. He felt it go out of him. And now let me be Jesus and you be Jerry. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Can I give you some information tonight? When an all-knowing God asks questions, he ain't hunting information. He's giving you an opportunity to get real and to get honest. Who touched me? That little woman. It was me. And can I tell you why? Go ahead. Now Jairus just kind of hanging out. Let me tell you why, Jesus. For 12 years, I've been sick. For 12 years, I had an infirmity. I believe Jairus said, did she just say 12? Did she just say 12? That's how old my little girl is. She's been sick for 12. And my little girl's been alive for 12. He must be in the 12 business. I guess it does. He had 12 tribes and 12 stones and 12 foundations and 12 disciples. I guess he's in the 12 business. Oh, Jairus said, you know what? If he can heal that little lady that's been sick for 12, he can hear my daughter that's been alive for 12. Because 12 is 12, no matter how much you cut it. And then Jesus fired off something he never said but two other times in the King James. He said, daughter, daughter. Son, I believe when Jesus said daughter, he said, did you just call her daughter? Did he just call her daughter? Oh my. He's got one too. He knows how I feel. He knows what I'm going through. He's cried where I've cried. He has wept where I've wept. Can I tell you there's one tonight? You can bow at his feet. He's been where you've been. He's cried where you've cried. He's wept you wept. We have a great high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. Hallelujah. Boy, they walk in that house. And Jesus runs out the naysayers. He runs out the nitpickers. He runs out the fault finders. Takes that bombman, takes that daddy, and them three flaming evangelists. And he walks over there and gets that little girl by the hand, lifts her up, and said, daughter, arise. And she arose. You be Jairus again. I'm going to be the little girl. She arose, and the Bible said she walked. Oh, look, Daddy. Woo! I can walk again. Daddy, ain't this good? I can walk. And I know they were Baptists because the Bible said after she arose and walked, they gave her something to eat. They celebrated it with something to eat. I'm glad the Father celebrated it with something to eat. And Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. And he invites his chosen people. Come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine. They gave her something to eat. I'm closing. Can you imagine being at the table that night? Let me be the little girl again and you be Jairus. Before Daddy can say the blessing, little girl said, Daddy, I want to say something. You've been a good daddy. You've been good to me and mama. House to live in, food to eat, clothes to wear. You've been good. But Daddy, I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. The best thing you ever did for me.
Yeah.
I mean, Daddy, the best thing you ever did for me.
Yeah.
Is when you went over and got Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Hey, Daddy, the day he stepped into our world. Oh, Lord, I said the day he stepped into our world, business picked up. Daddy, thank you for the day you went and got him for me. 2008, the angels come got my papa. Took him to glory. And he's not cancer stricken and stroke stricken and feeble and blind tonight. He's in good shape. And one day we're going to cross the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. We'll shake hands in that land. And I got a feeling my conversation with Daddy is going to go something like this. You be my daddy now. Daddy, good to see you. I sure did miss you, Daddy. Thank you for being good to me and my mama. Thank you. Daddy, thank you for my food, my clothes, and my Bible college. And thank you for them old worn-out Bibles you left me and them stacks of messages. You spent all your money, Daddy, but you at least left me the Bible, and I appreciate that. But, Daddy, the best thing you ever did for me was the day you see that man up on that throne named Jesus. Daddy, the day you went and got him, brought him to our house. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. In closing tonight, is there somebody in your life? Is there somebody in your family? Is there somebody in your world that you love enough to go get God for? He'll go home with you tonight. Amen. Just like he did Jairus. We're standing all over the tabernacle. Brother Steve, you come. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for Jesus. We love you. I'm glad we can get a hold of you tonight. Go where we can't go and do what we can't do. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.